Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to look at the readings of the day, or just the first reading of the day. We've been looking at this week, the church has given us the initial chapters from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which is just rich, packed, tremendous revelation, understanding of God's purpose, God's plan, the human condition. And mostly we've been talking about the sin-sick condition of the human race and how that was expressed by Paul, both in relationship to the pagan world as well as the Jewish world at the time, and the offer of salvation that is given to us in the gospel message, which is, Paul tells us, the very power of God, and that we access through faith, and it brings about salvation. So he's going to talk now, he's going to turn in chapter 3 here, kind of away from the long description of the sin-sick condition of the human race in history, and now moving toward God's redemptive work in Christ and bringing about salvation. So I'm going to read here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. It says, "Brothers and sisters, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though testified to by the law in the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." That's a really, really important sentence. And Paul's so good at putting it all into one sentence. You know, the righteousness of God. God's righteousness is revealed in the fact that he's faithful to his promises. He promised that he would bring about salvation, that he promised he would deal with the sin problem, that God is faithful. And so he's righteous. But his righteousness in this case now is manifested apart from the law that was given. Because remember, he'll say in another place that the law, which was meant for our good that God gave us, really becomes in some way an enemy. The law becomes a light that shines on the human heart. And what it ends up revealing is that at the core of our being, there's a rebellion against God's law. The law can't save us. The law actually condemns us and exposes us, our actual condition before the righteousness of God. But God has made a way, and Paul says it was testified by the law and the prophets. We anticipate it. And the righteousness of God, God is righteous. God is holy. God is faithful to his word. God is not a man that he should lie, another Bible passage tells us. And it comes through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The church has looked at the faith and law issue very clearly. Paul uses the words works of the law, and he's trying to help us understand very clearly that we're ultimately not saved by particular aspects of the law. But I just want to read a footnote from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible in the New Testament just to make sure you hear it clearly. He said, Paul uses this expression, that is the works of the law, 8 times in his writings, twice in Romans, 6 times in Galatians. Christian scholarship, both ancient and modern, has understood it in different ways. Some, like Augustine, St. Augustine, take it to mean observance of the entire law of Moses, whole and undivided. On this view, Paul contends that no act of obedience to the moral, ceremonial, or juridical commandment of the Torah can bring about justification of the sinner. Others, like St. Jerome, understand the expression to mean the ceremonial laws of Moses, such as circumcision, dietary laws, feast days, and Sabbath observance. On this view, Paul charges that the ritual works of the Torah, which defined the Jewish way of life during the Mosaic Age, have become obsolete in the New Covenant and thus have no bearing on justification. Both views are correct in their proper context. Initial justification in baptism takes place apart from any observance of the law, whatever. Whereas final justification at the Last Judgment takes place apart from the ceremonial works of the law, but not apart from observing the moral commandments of the law. So the distinction between the two is very important. So the church is clear on that. And going back to not in regard to initial justification, the gift of new life is what we're talking about. What is justification? It means life. It means coming from death to life. It means we receive it in baptism when we're baptized, and the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, washes us clean of original sin. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who is baptized, and making us sons or daughters of God, making us born again, bringing us into new life. That gift of making us children of God, that is not earned, or that's not the result of our works. But as Jesus said in other places, I mentioned earlier in the week, other places in the in this New Testament, that we are not saved by our works only, but we can't be saved apart from our works. But works matter on the judgment day. Why? Because they're about love. They're about love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those who love the Lord, those who love the God, our Father, will be with them forever, even though we stumble. But if our heart is turned to God and we repent of our sins and we live the life of the church and we seek to obey the Lord, loving him, willing the good of others, and willing God's will in our lives, that matters on the day of judgment. Did we respond to the grace that we were given in the Holy Spirit to live a new way of life? So that's really an important distinction to be able to see here. And then Paul goes on, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through redemption in Christ Jesus. So here's the free gift that comes to us in justification. And some of the battle between Catholics and Protestants over the years have been, how do you define justification? What is meant there? And the church has landed very clearly on how to understand that. And justification is what I had just described here. Through redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood to prove his righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed. Expiation, what does it mean? It means to blot out sin. It's to take it away. How did that happen? How did that happen? Through the act of love by which we were saved through Jesus' free yes to the Father. He became a sacrifice for sin. He offered a sacrifice to the Father. He offered himself to the Father. In that act of perfect love, here, finally, a human, somebody, he's the God-man, yes, but he took on human flesh. So from this earth, one of us could do justice to God, to give to God what belongs to God, to love him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love his neighbor as himself. That's why there's a cross, a vertical cross to the Father and a cross to our brothers and sisters, and then a right ordered love of self. Jesus was perfect love. Therefore, a perfect offering alone could deal with the sin problem, the magnitude of the sin problem of the human condition. He's the second Adam. He's the one who responded to the Father perfectly. And his perfect yes, his perfect act of love, is what brought down the kingdom of darkness. He swallowed up death in victory. And that blood took away the stain of sin that's on us. And of course, as I mentioned many times this week, that blood is applied to our lives in baptism. As Paul says in Romans 6, we die with Christ. The cross of Christ is applied to our life, and we're purified of original sin, the death-directed destiny of every human being. Only Jesus can break that destiny because he makes us a new creation. He gives us a new heart. He cleanses us. And then he comes to live in us through the Holy Spirit, who is the very glory of Jesus. The Catechism reminds us, and Scripture tells us, that he was raised to glory. He is raised by the Holy Spirit. The Catechism reminds us that the glory of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fully glorified Jesus as he entered back into the presence of the Father. And he sits now. One of us is in total full glory in heaven. And he pours out from his very being, the Father and the Son, the very person, Mary's Son, now fully glorified. And of course, Our Lady shares in that glory in such a, I'd say, redundant but glorious way. She's the queen, crowned queen of heaven and earth, participating in the victory of her Son. And it's the Holy Spirit who glorified her. sharing in what belongs to Jesus, and that's what's poured out on the church. And his glory comes to us in the Holy Spirit through baptism, through the sacraments of the church, where we come from death to life. Thanks be to God. So again, they are justified freely by his grace. It's grace. It's his free gift of giving us new life that we did not earn, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood to prove his righteousness because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed, through the forbearance of God to prove his righteousness in the present time, that he might be righteous and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. Salvation begins in the heart of God the Father. Salvation is an expression of his fatherhood, of his absolute total faithfulness. And Jesus is the expression of that love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he's the word from the Father. The Father gave us Jesus, the word that speaks the truth about the human condition, that speaks the truth about the love of God, and then demonstrates it. His whole life is a word that God the Father is faithful, that God the Father is good. This is a word, friends, we have to hear from Jesus through the grace of the Holy Spirit. God is utterly trustworthy. God the Father is good. He's merciful. Jesus trusted him even to that point on the cross. The devil tried to get him to stumble. How could this be? Where's your God? People shouting at him. He's on the cross. Where is your God? He's such a good God. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that to be in the will of his Father was the place of safety, was in the place of love. Jesus' yes to the Father is a perfect expression of the free will of the Son of God, Mary's Son, on our behalf, that set everything right, that opened the doors of hope to know and to be able to receive the love of the Lord, the love of the Father, to have the Holy Spirit given to us, where we become children of God and our hearts cry out, Abba. This gift of sonship, of being a child of God, is a free gift that we access and we say yes to the Father's full assessment given to us in the life and teaching of Jesus of the actual condition of the human race. And we say yes to it. And he offers us a way out. And we say yes to it, and we believe it, and we entrust ourselves fully to it. That's how we receive it. That's why this initial grace of justification and salvation, in this sense, that is God's free gift, cannot be earned. But how we live in this world matters on the day of judgment, and we can't be presumptuous, but we need to live a wholehearted life of faith, hope, and love. And we will rejoice on the day of salvation. Brothers and sisters, have a wonderful weekend walking in the joy of the Lord. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says, we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.